Hello, welcome back to the Nobody Asked For This podcast. This is the, it's either the 95th or the 97th episode of the Nobody Asked For This podcast. I think it might be 97. That's so exciting because that means that the episode that follows this is 98. And then one after that is 99. And then the one after that, 100. But let's not get too ahead of ourselves because we still have, obviously, all of those episodes that I talked about to get through before we get to 100. So you never know. But it's looking like we're going to get there, knock on wood. If you could hear, that was me knocking on wood. I hope everyone has had a great week. I am coming to you at the usual recording hour. For whatever reason, the last couple weeks, I decided that I was going to be, you know, a go-getter and do this early. And if not early, you know, maybe better put is not as late as I normally would. Whereas this week, we're coming, it's down to the wire. It's 8:18 p.m. I might have been talking for about a minute. So it was 8:17 p.m. when I started the day before this comes out. So, like, if something good doesn't come out now, then this episode is not going to be that great because this is all the time that I have. So we're going to just cross our fingers and hope something comes up. I'm coming to you from the classic beanbag chair. There will not be the what has become the regular format of the Nobody Asked For This podcast, where the first half is done in a vehicle and then the second half is done in where I'm sitting today. This will be a long take, one shot, because again, time is of the essence. But yeah, my week was good. Nothing too major to report. No sort of paranormal, well, I guess paranormal is not the word, but no very fancy, like, sky showings happened. Of course, I'm referring to the solar eclipse of the previous week that, unfortunately, just to do a mini recap of that, if anyone missed the podcast where I did talk about it, which was a lot of people because I saw the numbers in there. Ooh, let me tell you, they're down. And you know what? I feel like I've done my best work on the episodes that no one listens to, so I'm okay with that. I'm just going to take it in stride and just live in my delusion. I'm really going to just tell myself that I am the number one podcast in all of podcast history, because you know what? No one can tell me otherwise. Like, I think as long as your delusion is not hurting anyone else or putting you in direct harm, who cares? Yeah, sure, tell yourself you're number one. Why not? Unless it's like obvious that you're not, then that's kind of irritating, especially for the people around you, if you're sort of living like you are greater than you are. Okay, but if you're naturally great, go for it. But like, if you kind of know, like, listen, I'm not great at ballet, like, maybe don't go around saying that you're a great ballet artist. But if it's something like this where it really is just like a hobby and I'm just, you know, recording audio files and then posting them to the internet, like, is it that big of a deal if I act like I'm, you know, gone viral? Sure, I'm viral. I kind of was viral this week because I've had a little bit of a scratchy throat, and it's at that time of the day, or not that time of the day, the time of the season where it's like my favorite game, is it a cold or is it allergies? And I'm actually like very, very good at telling, not to brag, two things I'm number one at: podcasting, obviously, duh. Second thing I'm very good at, knowing if it's a cold or if it's allergies. And I really try and describe for people like what I mean when I say I can tell. And I'm going to do that here. And if this is something people can relate to, then it means I am a doctor and deserve some sort of like a medical, maybe not full medical degree, but if I could get like just maybe a voucher for if I ever was going to do medical school, like, I could skip the class where they teach what I'm about to tell you. You know what I mean? Like, you know, just because I've mastered one small area of the medical field, I don't think that means that I'm now a doctor, but I do think it should mean that I get something in return. So again, if any medical schools are listening and would like to invite me to your program, I'd really highly consider it, obviously, if it was free. And I would like the ability to skip the class, like just have someone from the organization listen to every episode of the Nobody Asked for This podcast and then sort of like cross out or highlight on the syllabus the lectures in which I already know the material. I think they should have that program option. And then, obviously, I'm getting the program for free, but you could then discount it for other people. So it's like, okay, you're missing 2 out of the 100 lectures. Like, you're going to get a 2% off the grand total tuition, which is probably in the, like, hundreds of thousands. How much does medical school cost? I'm going to Google that because I actually don't know. How much does medical school costs, excuse me, it's late. As I said before, last minute, people. How much does medical school cost? Okay. Okay, like not great. Public university, $37,000 for 1 year of medical school, and you have to do, how long is medical school? 3 or 4 years? 4 years? Oof. Okay, well, I'm really going to need that medical school to be free. You think it would be a bit cheaper because, like, don't we need doctors? Like, aren't doctors, like, doing us a service? Like, shouldn't we, like, I don't know, shouldn't we, like, find, like, shouldn't, I think it should be free. Hashtag make medical school free. Get it trending. Make it viral. But back to what I was saying about the cold. A cold, in my opinion, feels heavy. A cold, you wake up, you have like the sharp sore throat, and then you have like, you kind of feel it like, did you ever feel a cold like in your face? Like you have like the, I feel like you have some sort of like sinus glands, like almost around your cheekbones, that those kind of, they don't hurt, but you feel them. And then the pressure is like going onto your nose. Whereas when you have a cold, or no, sorry, when you have allergies, it's more of like a light, like almost like a fluffy cold. And it's more of a runny nose than a stuffed nose. And then there's like the itching of the eyes. And then sometimes, and only sometimes, like a tingle in the ears. That either makes sense or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, then maybe I do deserve to pay for medical school. But if it does, I'll be hitting the books. I actually do wonder, like, if I'll ever have to be a student again. Because when I graduated, I was going to say the first time, I guess the only time, when I graduated, when I finished school, I was probably then in a place of thinking that I was going to for sure go back to school more than I am now. But I decided, again, use delusion to your advantage, an advantageous delusion, which will be the title of this episode, unless something else comes up, unless my genius strikes twice, lightning strikes twice. But when I graduated, I told myself, like, act as if this is done. This is it. This is the last time you'll ever go to school. Even though in the back of my head, I was like, I'll probably be back here, like, having to type essays, read crap that I actually didn't read, but then like Google the answers. And that actually is a big reason that I don't think I could go back to school, because I feel like if at this point of things, if I'm going and like paying again the $100,000 or whatever, like you probably should do the work at that point, and like really like hit the books and be interested in what you're doing and like put your whole soul into it. And I just don't feel like my whole soul belongs in school. I liked school. I didn't mind school. But again, I didn't mind school the way I did it, which was like I gave 70% and then sort of like just pivoted. Like I was like, I was a B, not B plus, not B minus, but like a B. If I tried my darndest, I got a B. if I, similar to this episode of the Nobody Asked for This podcast, and started 8:30 p.m. the night before it was due, I got a B. So the message I was really sent by my educators, or really just the message I was sent by the feedback from my own work across literally my entire educational career, was that why try? Why bother? I was a huge procrastinator. I am a procrastinator. I'll always get it done. I will always get what I need to do done, but I will do it the night before. And I've gone from trying to stop that from being the case and really try and build good habits to just fully embracing it and then trying to reorganize my life so that it fits with my lifestyle, you know? And here's the thing. Not that I want to give anyone reasons to procrastinate or like tips on how to procrastinate. If you are not naturally a procrastinator, I have so much respect for you. I want to be you. I've come to the realization that at least in this form of myself, I think, you know, people change. I think in this iteration, it's not happening. Like I am a procrastinator. I'll actually spend time and hours Googling, why do I procrastinate? And then I'll realize like, I've just spent 3 hours trying to figure out why, as opposed to working on my like English essay or whatever. So I would use procrastination to procrastinate. There's procrastination happening across the nation. But my theory on it, not theory is not the word, my sort of spin that I tell myself is, okay, and I'm sure I've said this before on the show, but again, the numbers have been low. So I'll repeat. I have thought it would be kind of funny, and I will get back to what I was saying, but I have thought it would be kind of funny to just like copy paste an episode, like take an episode that I know no one heard and just like release it as if it was new. Because really, I'm not saying anything that is super like topical. Like unless I started talking about like mint milkshakes on St. Patrick's Day, you know, maybe then I would be giving myself away. Did that rhyme? Mint milkshakes on St. Patrick's Day, I would give myself away. I'm also in the music industry. Anyway, what I was going to say about procrastination is if you do, you know, an essay over, I don't know, what is the recommended time to do an essay over? A week long period, then you've really messed up and put a stain on a whole week of your life. And time is of the essence. If I know anything, it's that time is of the essence. Again, to record this episode and have it submitted by midnight. But also, you know, YOLO, time's short. We gotta use it while we have it. So I would much rather spend all of one day working on an essay, then spend a tenth of 7 days working on an essay. You know what I mean? It's just mentally, I can sleep better. And let me tell you, there was nothing like clicking submit at like 11:52 p.m., closing my laptop, and then like just lying in bed after probably having worked on this essay start to finish since like 10 a.m. the day, like the same day. There was nothing like the feeling of knowing that it was submitted, you know? And I would always check when I would submit stuff, I would do, I would go on like a different device or a different computer and like download my work to make sure it all like downloaded properly. Because again, it sounds like I'm just like a lazy student who didn't care. I very much cared. I just didn't start caring till like 6 hours before the assignment was due. And I can't explain why. If anyone is a human behavioral consultant, let me know. And if maybe you have some feedback for me on these behaviors and like where it stems from, I would love to know. I would love to know who to blame. I would love to know what to blame. But in the meantime, I'm going to do me. And it hasn't really been an issue because I don't have, well, as I say, it doesn't have an issue because I don't have assignments. But again, I'm doing this episode at 8:30 p.m. The night before it's due. So I do have some sort of outlet to get my procrastination out. Maybe that's why I've continued to do this podcast. It is an outlet for procrastination. And like, who else am I going to say all this stuff to? You know what I mean? Just to change subjects randomly, which could be the title of this whole show, not just the episode. But what exactly is a sourdough starter? I had never heard the term before until I want to say when we were in deep quarantine 2020, in like March to May 2020, when it was like you like literally did not leave your house. And I feel like the rest of 2022, but like the those first few months where it was like there was no toilet paper, there was no Purell, no one knew it was happening. It was like you did not leave your house unless you 100% needed to. I feel like that was the time everyone was doing sourdough kits and sourdough starters. And I don't know what that is. Like, is it like a sourdough starter? Like, this is not a joke. Like, I have no idea what people are talking about. I assume it means the starting ingredients to make sourdough bread. But like beyond that, so like is a ripe banana bread starter? Like what is, I'm Googling sour. And I also heard people have been like gifted a sourdough starter. Like what does that mean? I'm not hating on it. I'm sure it's lovely, but okay. Sourdough starter. Okay, I'm gonna Google it. And obviously I get all my information from that first box on Google where you don't even have to click the website. Like, it just comes up. And it is telling me, this is from littlespoonfarm.com, which if I do ever have a frozen yogurt shop, it will be called littlespoonfarm.com, like the whole thing. And it is telling me that a sourdough starter is a living culture of wild yeast and lactic acid bacteria that is used to make bread rise. So many words that I've heard, but don't understand. Okay, living, we got. Culture, I've heard of it. I don't actually know what it means. I think it has something to do with bacteria. Wild yeast. Not sure what makes it wild. Yeast, I have heard of. I believe that makes it stuff rise. Now, wild yeast, is there just like yeast in like the farm? Like, I know what yeast does. I don't know what yeast is. I know what it looks like. It looks like those little, like, almost like a powdery substance. So we're just going to pretend that I understand the wild, how yeast can be wild. Lactic acid. Lactic to me sounds like lactose, which sounds like dairy. Acid makes sense. Acid bacteria and lactic acid bacteria that is used to make bread rise. But like, I assume there's sour in it. Oh, learn how to make a sourdough starter. Let's do this. We'll get all our Christmas shopping done for 2020, whatever it's going to be. 2024? Is it 2020? It's 2024 now. Okay. I have issues with the year. If you are unfamiliar, okay. Yada, yada, yada. How do you make a sourdough starter? This is from the website farmhouseonboone.com. And I chose it because it was the first one that popped up. So, okay, you need cheesecloth, it seems. Cheesecloth is always one of those things where, like, you see it in the stores until you need it, and then until you go to the store to get cheesecloth, and then you ask people there that work there, and they're like, we have no idea what you're talking about. Like, we've never seen cheesecloth. I say that as someone who worked in a grocery store, too. So it's like, I was on the other side of it, where it's like, yeah, I see it when I don't need to see it, and then someone asks me where it is, and I would just be like, what's that? Okay, so according to farmhouseonboone.com, to make sourdough, the ingredients are flour and filtered water. Oh, okay, there's a whole process. You have to allow it to sit for 24 hours. Like the Ninja creamy machine. Huh. Okay, this sounds like a science experiment. If there's any science teachers, honestly, make sourdough starter kit if you need to do like a year-end project or something. And then maybe you could link up with the home ec teacher, and then they could bake the sourdough that they started via the sourdough starter in home ec class, and then your school will smell like bread. A win-win for everybody. So it's like something you could do. I haven't said this before, but like, I love doing that. I'm like, and also, but it's like the first thing I've ever said. And one more time, and it's, I have a new thought. While we're discussing things that I don't understand, what is Worcestershire? Worcestershire sauce. I think if I had to seriously pronounce it, I would call it, okay, I've said it so many times wrong, like kind of on purpose that I can't, Worcestershire. I can't even remember how I used to say it. I'm not, and I just want a disclaimer, I'm not poking fun at the name. I was just forgetting how to say it. But I'm going to do a YouTube search on, no offense, my other phone. Oh, I have to talk about my phone's meltdown this morning, but one sec. How to pronounce Worcestershire. It's like literally the third option that came up. Okay. I just need like a robot to tell me how to do it. Okay. It's going to tell us. This is American Pronunciation Guide, YouTube, how to pronounce Worcestershire.
My gravy in the colors with Worcestershire sauce rather than that gravy liquid stuff.
Worcestershire. Okay, I believe. Now, this was, I didn't know we were having a guest on this episode. I clicked American Pronunciation Guide and Rachel Ray popped up. So, all rights reserved.
On and on and on. Baked pastas are
all. Oh, it's not a barbecue sauce, right?
Oh, someone else is here.
Lots of herbs and spices, pepper, of course. Worcestershire.
Worcestershire. There's new people here. Worcestershire. Okay, but you're not telling me how to pronounce it. Okay, sorry, YouTube. We got to go for just like a phonetic spelling. Worcestershire sauce. Okay. I will say, I don't know what it is. It's pretty good. Like, obviously, in stuff. You're not just going to, you know, do a teaspoon of Worcestershire. I think I might have said it right. Okay. How do you pronounce? Okay. Come on, Wikipedia. Worcestershire. Wait. Just someone tell me. Oh, here we go. Wikipedia is going to do it for me. Pronounce it.
Worcestershire. Worcester. Worcester.
It's just Worcester?
Worcester. Or Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire. 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 Worcester? Sure. Worcester. Sure. Okay. Okay, now that we know how to say it barely, this is just straight ripped from the Wikipedia page for Worcestershire sauce. It says it is a fermented liquid condiment. See, it is sourdough starter. Invented by the pharmacist John Wheely Lee and William Henry Perrins in the city of Worcester in Worcestershire. I think I killed the pronunciation, Worcestershire, England, during the first half of the 19th century. So wait, you're telling me Worcestershire is over-the-counter pharmaceuticals? Used directly as a condiment on steaks, hamburgers, and other finished dishes, and to flavor cocktails such as the Bloody Mary and Caesar. What? It is also frequently used to augment recipes such as Welsh rare bit, Caesar salad, oysters, and deviled eggs. As both a background flavor and a source of umami, it is now also added to dishes that historically do not contain it, such as chili, beef stew, and baked beans. Worcester. I would love to pay a visit to the people of Worcester and ask them how to pronounce their county. You learn something new every day. Something I needed to learn new today was how to gel my own hair. For some reason, I messed up. I gel my hair the same way every day. Well, maybe like 6 days a week. There's usually a day where it's like, listen, a hat will suffice. Also, no one cares about my hair, starting with me. But I guess today I like I gelled it starting too low from the separation of like where it starts to like kind of start flowing to one side. I don't have the vocab at the ready to explain this, but basically what I mean to tell you is my head looked more oval shaped than its usual oval shapedness today. And part of me cared and most of me didn't care. So I'm just sort of trying to find my power in that. Also, it's almost as bad as yesterday, which will be 2 days ago when you're listening to this, just for context, just in case you need to know. But I did indeed have my undershirt sort of like showing because the actual shirt that I was wearing, the sleeves on it were shorter than the sleeves of my undershirt. Because for some reason, I woke up the other day and decided that even if the weather was going to not be on the same page as me, I was just going to dress like it was summer. So I wore a short sleeve shirt and had a t-shirt on underneath of like a more dressy, well, not dressy, but like just from a different section of the, you know, discount clothing store that I shop at. But I didn't realize till I arrived to where I was going that the undershirt that I had on underneath was longer than this, like the sleeve of that shirt was longer than the sleeve of my shirt that I was wearing on top. So it did give like a layered effect that I thought for a second I was going to just pretend that it was meant to be like that. And then I decided, you know what, let's just roll it up. So I rolled up the sleeves. And then it kind of felt like I was in a constant state of about to get like a flu shot. You know, when you go in to get your flu shot, you have to roll up your sleeve. And then they put the rubbing alcohol on your, like, what is that called? Your shoulder. Because I had my sleeves rolled up, I felt like that. And then I was like, well, no, now it looks like I'm wearing shoulder pads. So like maybe we just have to own the undershirt coming up underneath. And then I tried to like just kind of curl it up, not do a full roll. But then that wasn't staying. And then I did contemplate just stapling it together, which is very reminiscent of when I was in elementary school and my pants split down the middle. And I thought a quick fix would be just to staple the inside of the pants. Like, I guess for whatever reason, I did like the splits or something at school and like, and I don't think anyone noticed, but I noticed. So I was like, okay, I have to fix this. So I got a stapler and like stapled from the inside. I was smart to do it from the inside and not the outside. And I thought I was a genius till, you know, of course I did any sort of movement and all of the staples come like bursting out. So if anyone, just so don't do that. So I knew from that experience to not staple my you know, my undershirt to the sleeves of my regular shirt because I knew it wasn't going to work. And had I not failed before, I wouldn't have known that that wasn't going to work. Also, big reason I didn't want to staple it is because I was wearing my most prized possession, which is my In-N-Out shirt, my In-N-Out burger shirt. And I just didn't want any, you know, it is like old and crusty from being washed and dried so many times. But I just, for some reason, the idea of putting a stapler in it, a staple in it just didn't feel right with me. So I left it. And you know what? The world moved on. And I think the message I want to send you all off with today is while we all, you know, we put our best foot forward and we do our best to, you know, look and act presentable, whatever that means, at the end of the day, everyone else is just like us and they're worried about themselves. And, you know, maybe rightfully so. So much to the point that they're not worried about you. Like, in that whole day of worrying, like, are my sleeves too short? Are my sleeves too high? Should I roll them? Should I staple them? I was spending so much time thinking about me. I cannot tell you what one other person around me looked like that day, which, if they are like me, means that they didn't notice my sleeves. Now, where I, you know, sort of play my own self is I go around and make sure to point out to everybody, look how weird my sleeve looks. Isn't this funny? Oops, forgot. Like, LOL, isn't this hilarious? Like, no, not, now I'm going to roll it up. What do you think? How does that look? Does that look worse? And it's like, okay, now I've drawn attention to it. So really, who am I to give advice? But, you know, maybe you can find something, which is just in any of these 31 minutes, maybe you found something that you can take forward, and maybe all you learned was what not to do, which if I can provide that, I'll take it. but for now, I will be leaving. I hope everyone has a great week. If you want to hear more of the Nobody Asked for This podcast, you can just go to podcastnobodyaskedforthis.podbean.com. I get that website wrong every time, but I believe that to be it. On there, you can listen to all of the past episodes. You can also find links to our Instagram, our TikTok, which doesn't really get used, Twitter and Facebook. And yeah, thank you if you've taken the time to listen to this. I really appreciate it. If not, no hard feelings, because you won't be listening to this anyway. So for me to, you know, express my disappointment, it would just be a waste of air. So, but I will catch you all in the next one, which I think is going to be the 98th episode of the Nobody Asked for This podcast, which is one episode away from the penultimate. Well, not the penultimate, because I'm not finishing at 100, but the penultimate, if penultimate were to mean episode before the 100th episode, because then the episode after that episode will be the 100th episode, which I should probably start planning now, because knowing my planning skills, my procrastination skills, I should get on that. I would like to get balloons, even though, like, what a waste of money. Anyway, I hope everyone has a great week, and I'll see you next time. Bye.